Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running out flames in the buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
All right. And here we are with another exciting episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding. This is show number 9 on the Louisville.am podcast network. Please be sure and check out all the shows on the network and especially download mine, the Rusty Satellite Show. We're kind of getting the hang of things around here, and I have lined up a couple of great guests this week. Both are sort of athletic related, and you know both of them have really great stories. They're great stories, I think, of individual achievement, desire. I think that Ben Rhodes and John Bowl actually have a lot in common. They're both very driven and very dedicated to being the best at what they do. So it's going to be interesting to talk to both John Bowl and Ben Rhodes today. John, this week is the reason I had him on this week. This week is the Ironman competition in Louisville. 2,700 people, John tells me, will be doing that crazy, crazy thing, swimming 2.4 miles in the Ohio River, jumping out, riding 112 miles on their bike, out to LaGrange and throughout Oldham County, and then finished by a simple marathon of 26.2 miles through the city of Louisville. It's a big, big event for the city, and as John and I discussed, don't really hear a lot of buzz about it, but it's really something. I thought the interesting thing that John told me was that out of all those entries, only about 150 that enter don't make it. So it's quite a challenge to do an Ironman. I think I'm past my prime on that. I'm never gonna be able to do one. I can't run anymore. But it is just an amazing feat to participate in and finish one of those things. And John's done it every time it's been in Louisville. So anyway, that's coming up. That's in the second half of the show. First of all, we're going to talk with young Ben Rhodes. He's a 16-year-old race car driver. A note, the reason I'm having him on this week, he has been driving stock cars for about a year and a half, and Ben has seen his share of frustration on the track, but in the last 2 weeks, he's won 3 races. So Ben's pretty fired up about that. Just so you know, Ben is the son of Joe Rhodes, who owns the company that I work for, Alpha Energy Solutions. He's a really fine young man. I originally got to know him when I was asked to help Ben with his media skills training, and so we did that, and so all the things that he messes up are my fault, but he's really come a long way. He's doing a great job. So here's my interview with Ben Rhodes. Ben Rhodes, who is a 16-year-old race car driver, and I'm out here at the Kentucky State Fair with Ben today. Ben, how'd you like the fair?
It was a lot of fun. We're out here with the Kentucky Office of Transportation, Highway Safety, and I got to come out here and do an interview with the Afternoon Underdogs, and now I'm on here with you, so this is awesome.
There you go. You're becoming a sort of a expert at doing media, aren't you?
Getting there. Okay. I took lessons from you a while back, and
we learned not to do that thing, right?
Yeah, exactly what I'm doing right now.
Well, good. Well, it must be it must be great. Now, I know you can fill in the details for me, but since you moved up to this NASCAR K&N Pro Series, you've been running for a while now, and it's been kind of a dry spell, but congratulations, I guess, are in order. You didn't just win one race, you won 3.
Yep, we're running the NASCAR Whelen All-American Series and the NASCAR K&N Pro Series. for half a season this year, and we won three races so far, pretty much back-to-back, last couple of weeks in the NASCAR Wheeling All-American Series. So it's been a great week for us, and I've been learning a lot. We've changed our mindset a little bit and how we attack everything, but we really haven't changed a lot. We've just had some bad luck this year, and it's now finally all coming together.
Really? I mean, I know we, you know, myself and people that have been following you know that you have been all of last year sort of coming close but never winning, and then this year, you know, it seems like somebody would hit you at the end, or you know, you'd be right up in the at the top and something would happen, but nothing different, or what was it like just to finally get to the winner's circle?
You know, once we got there to the winner's circle, I was still kind of feeling it, you know what I mean? I was still kind of feeling it about, and I didn't really know what to think of it. At the time, you know, I was excited that we won, but it more or less came as a relief. Like, it finally, you know, it took this long. And, you know, we came so close, like you said, several times. Not even several times. Every week we're right there in the running for the top spot. But it seemed like something would always happen, whether we get a flat tire or blow an engine or get caught up in somebody else's mess. But now that it's all finally taken care of itself, hopefully luck will all balance out.
All right, well, now, you certainly, in the bigger picture, aspire to a higher level, and I know that this summer you spent a lot of time in North Carolina, and it seems like it's really been a great opportunity for you to really learn the ins and outs, the details of racing. You don't just hop in the car and start driving, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, to get to the top level and to be a top-level race car driver, you have to know all about the car, and you have to be an expert in every field of it, so that way you can explain to the guys what you need more or less of. The car really is a balance, and you have to know what you need, whether it be left front spring or right front shock change. You know, there's so much going on in these cars that you just have to be there and learn it all so you can describe what you're feeling, what you need.
Okay. Well, you know, when I talk to people about you, Ben, and I say I represent the 16-year-old race car driver, that, you know, it's immediately there's a question about, well, what, you know, has he got his license yet? And I know on your birthday you got your permit. Here we are 6 months later or so. How's the driving on the street going for you?
It's going good. You know, at first I hopped in the car, and I'll admit I was going a little fast and wasn't slowing down enough for corners. And I've gotten used to driving the street car now, so I'm not so, I wouldn't say dangerous on the road, not so crazy, I guess you could say.
Okay, so you're not competing with other drivers on the Watterson,
no,
trying to get ahead of them?
No, I'm letting them do their thing, and I'm going to do mine.
Well, good. Now, do you have a car yet?
I do. Well, I haven't driven it yet. It's an old F-150 truck, so I'll be driving that every day to school. But, you know, really, I don't even care what I have. Just something to get me from point A to point B. I already got my cars, and I race those on the track.
Okay, well, I know a Grand Marquis you could have for a good price. I'm just kidding. That's my car. But, Ben, speaking of school, now, a lot of people don't know, you're doing all this racing on the weekends, but you're at Holy Cross High School. And I guess they made some special rules for you, but you've got to keep up with your studies, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, these first 2 years in high school, I'm a junior now, by the way, but the first 2 years in high school, I was missing about 30 days a year. And, you know, it'd be very difficult to get out of school, but I've kept my grades up. I've maintained a 4.0 so far in high school, and it's been difficult. You know, grades are important to me because I know a lot of people look at those, whether you're going to college or just trying to get sponsors right now. People look at those to see your dedication to what you do. And those are a good measuring tool, I guess you say, something to grade it by.
Now, it seems like kind of a heady thing, and a lot of people would think, oh, you know, you must have a big ego because, you know, when you look on, you've got your face on a billboard here in town, you've got all these media requests, you're always out of town doing things, and media. Do your friends in high school, do they bring you back down to earth at all?
Really, I've never left Earth. I'm still right here I just do my thing. You know, I'll come back home and get to see everybody that I'm friends with. And, you know, over the summer I stayed in North Carolina, like you said, so that was really cool getting to meet and see people. But I'm just the same old person I've always been. And, you know, I'm just doing what I love to do and have fun.
Okay. So, and I'm sure your mom would want me to ask you this, but you're staying away from the girls.
Yeah, my mom would appreciate that, and I think my dad would. Well, I don't know about my dad so much, but they want me to stay focused in racing, and that's exactly how I am right now, just focused 100%. I'm too busy to be doing anything anyways, so I'm all my free time pretty much goes to racing, and that's what I love to do.
Okay, and you also, you know, have quite a social media presence. I know that we've been working with your Facebook page. You've got how many likes you got now?
About 8,000 on Facebook and almost 19,000 on Twitter, I believe.
Wow, and you know all those people, right?
No, I wish I did. It'd be really cool to know everybody, but that's too many people for one person to know.
Yeah, and I tell you, for people that are following racing, fans of yours, it is a good way to keep up with your career and what's going on in your life. And, you know, it's just amazing to see the kind of fan reaction that there is in social media. And also, like, we were at the fair today, and, you know, you're very, very good at talking to kids and all that, but you know what is it about seeing people in person and going to events like this? And I know you've signed thousands of autographs at car shows, etc. But you seem to genuinely enjoy you know, talking to these kids.
You know, going to a lot of the shows, you know, you kind of feel like, here comes another show. I could be doing something here or there. But once I get into the atmosphere and stuff, you know, I get to talk about what I love to do, and I get to meet a lot of cool people. So it's always fun for me once I get there. And you meet so many cool people, and dealing with the kids is always fun. They their reactions are just awesome. You know, some of them just their faces light up, and then others, you're trying to explain to them what's going on, and it's just always fun.
Yeah, it's right. It is sort of fun interacting with the public. Now I don't go to the races with you. Do you have the same sort of interaction with fans at the races?
We definitely do, and in the NASCAR Can-Am Pro Series that I'm racing in right now, that's a big part of it. They have mandatory driver autograph sessions, and they got really big crowds. They just line up all the drivers on the table. You can come down there and get some autographs and different merchandise and that a lot of the drivers are handing out for free, and you can go down there, meet them, and talk to everybody, and it's just a really fun atmosphere, and it's just a lot of fun overall. Just all the races are just a blast.
Wow, and then you get to get in the car and
go have some more fun.
go past those guys on the curve.
Oh,
right?
yeah, exactly.
Well, you now, and the last thing I wanted to ask you about, you've been selected, a pretty big honor. You've been in this NASCAR Next program, and you were selected out of all of the young drivers in the country to be in the select group of NASCAR Next competitors. And exactly what does that mean for your career?
It means a lot, actually. You know, that's a pretty prestigious honor to be given, to be part of the NASCAR Next program. It's a new program that NASCAR came out with a couple years ago, but it's an industry initiative to spotlight the young drivers that are moving up through the sport. And you know, that means a lot to have backing from NASCAR, who's trying to help you succeed and give you media attention. And, you know, that means so much. And very fortunate to be part of the program, and I'm looking forward to help represent it well.
Well, sure. NASCAR certainly knows a lot about marketing, and it's great to see them taking young drivers like you and really promoting them in a big way. So, your schedule the rest of the year, it seems like you race almost every weekend. Will you be on different tracks? Anything you're really looking forward to the rest of the year?
The big race for me is definitely Dover this year. We're going to go to the Monster Mile up in Dover, Delaware. You know, you see all the big NASCAR series run there, and we're going to go there in the K&N series this year. And I'm just looking forward to it. I hear all the stories about the place and how it feels like the car just drops out from underneath you going into the corners. It feels like you're like jumping off a building, they say. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. That's going to be a cool experience. And, you know, I can't imagine how it's going to feel. I guess I'll just have to find out.
All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to that. That's how far off?
That's later this year, I believe, September.
Okay. All right, Ben. Well, thank you for coming on the Rusty Satellite Show. Now, tell our listeners how they can follow you on Twitter. It's
Ben Rhodes Inc. on Twitter. And on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/ Ben Rhodes Inc. Or Ben Rhodes, actually.
Okay. Well, great. All right, Ben. Well, thanks a lot. And good luck out there on the track. And I hope you have fun at the fair.
Thank you.
Okay, Ben, thanks for coming on the Rusty Satellite Show. What a great inspirational story Ben is for, 16-year-olds and up. Anybody that is interested in achieving their dream, he's on his way. So congratulations to Ben for his big wins in recent weeks on his way to becoming a NASCAR driver. So this is the part of the show where I talk a little bit about what's going on in my world and things that I've noticed that are newsworthy. And be honest with you, the last week of August is kind of a slow week. We're all getting back to school. We're getting ready for football season. Of course, this week the Ironman is coming up in Louisville. That's a big deal. And there aren't a whole lot of stories that caught my attention in the news. I did write a story for Insider Louisville. You can check out at insiderlouisville.com about the changes in the media landscape around here. It's mainly some of the stories I've been reporting for the last month or so that the Courier Journal is hemorrhaging people and assets and relevance, in my opinion, and also the fact that we just learned last week that Leo's in a little bit of trouble. They lost their editor, Sarah Kelly, who resigned rather than, as she said in a news report about her leaving, that she would she was faced with the challenge to cut a salary from her very thin staff over there at Leo Magazine. So she decided to resign and cut her own. So I don't think that's really going to be a good move for Leo. And you know, the fact that the publisher, when quoted about the story, said that he thought they'd be able to rehire that position when advertising improved, because he's hired a new advertising salesperson. Well, you know, it's really laughable that whole idea that advertising is going to come back to print is laughable to me. So the crux of that story is about the decline of newspapers and the rise of journalism, primarily here in town at Louisville Public Media and at WDRB-TV. So check that out on Insider Louisville, insiderlouisville.com. Last week we had Terry Boyd, the publisher of the website, here on the air with me. And so with the lack of breaking news. That's our term, breaking news. There is no breaking news this week, so a few things happened culturally. I always say that, actually, I got a compliment. Somebody said, oh, I'm so glad that Rick is including culture in his weekly podcast. So that's what I'm doing here. I did finish a very interesting book. It's called The Unwinding of America by George Packer. It's a series of vignettes, small stories. Packer is a writer for New Yorker Magazine. He writes a series of vignettes about people you've never heard of, but people like Newt Gingrich, Bill Clinton, Oprah Winfrey, and some of the stories behind the changes in America from, say, 1992 through the present. And it's a very fascinating look at the way things have changed. And that's what we're talking about with the changes in media. Nothing's the same as it was. And you know, Packer's book goes into the idea that really people have to be self-sufficient in the world to make it, as opposed to maybe a sense of privilege they might have had in the 70s and 80s. So I highly recommend picking up the book, The Unwinding, by George Packer. But, you know, and something that just happened today, this is being recorded on August 20th, it's sort of a sad thing for me, but a chance to celebrate the life of one of my favorite writers, man whose books had an influence on who I am and what I think, Elmore Leonard, what I would call America's greatest crime writer, passed away today at age 87. Now, if you don't know a lot about Elmore Leonard, you know, just know that he wrote some 60 novels throughout his career. He was working right up until the time he died. Elmore Leonard is just a national treasure. You may, in popular culture, there's a lot of popular culture references to Leonard's works. Perhaps my favorite show on television right now is Justified, and with a wonderful character, Deputy Marshal Raylan Givens, and set in Eastern Kentucky, and it's just a wonderful drama. It is not airing right now, but it's a regular series on the FX network, Justified, and it's based on an Elmore Leonard book. I've, throughout my life, read maybe a dozen Elmore Leonard novels. My favorite is called Tishomingo Blues, which is, I've been reading some tributes to Mr. Leonard today, and, you know, his capturing of characters, and especially criminals. You know, he certainly doesn't glorify them, and the criminals don't win in the end. They are flawed characters, and they wouldn't be committing crimes if they didn't have these flaws. And Elmore has a way of bringing it to life what you think these criminals might be thinking when they're doing these dumb things. Tishomingo Blues, my favorite, was about a guy who was a high diver. He in Tunica, Mississippi, dove 80 feet into 9 feet of water for the thrill and amazement of crowds as a circus performer. But he witnesses a crime, and it involves Civil War stuff and all that. And it's really well done. But I'll tell you, as a writer, and if any of you like to try writing, you know, it's you know, it used to be really that only a few, you know, only people that wrote anything that anything was read were people who were in the media, or maybe lawyers. But today, it seems like with the advent of Facebook and social media, everybody's a writer, and that means there's a lot more bad writing out there, and a lot of those folks who are performing these crimes of bad writing would do well to read Elmore Leonard's Secrets, his top 10 tricks for good writing. And I thought I'd share these with you because, you know, I really try to follow some of them. The main thing I'll just tell you right off the bat at the end, there's one rule that sums up all these rules from Elmore. And that is, if it sounds like writing, I rewrite it. So, if you do ever pick up Elmore Leonard book, you'll know what he means by that. But I'm going to run through these just for fun. The top 10 tips for good writing from Elmore Leonard. Number one is never open a book with weather. Of course, I'm not a big fan of weather in the media and all that. So number two is avoid prologues. Number three, never use a verb other than said to carry dialogue. And that is really, really true. I see that in a lot of things that I read and a lot of writers that make that mistake. Leonard was the king of dialogue and really knows how to write it and make you feel what the characters are feeling. So, number four, never use an adverb to modify the verb said, says he admonished gravely. Number five, keep your exclamation points under control. Of course, in the age of social media, we overdo it with exclamation points. Remember this one. He says you can have two or three per 100,000 words of prose. So that's good advice. Never use the word suddenly or all hell broke loose. He says use regional dialect sparingly. Avoid detailed descriptions of characters. Don't go into great detail describing places and things. And I like this one best of all. Try to leave out the part that readers tend to skip. Think about that one. In the age of the internet, Leonard's rules are written some 20, 30 years ago, or certainly ring true today. So anyway, Elmore Leonard passed away this week, and really sad to see him go because actually, because I was looking forward to reading his next book. So anyway, well, that concludes our little look at culture this week. I'm going to move on to our next interview on the show, and I was really excited about getting John Bull to come in and talk to me. John is the Wave 3 anchor, and he has more Emmy Awards in his closet than the rest of the town put together. I can guarantee you that. He just picked up 4 new ones as a result of his work for Wave. You know, he was a longtime reporter and anchor at WLKY-TV. And the interesting thing, you know, if you follow John, you know, he had some problems a few years back with an addiction to alcohol. He seems to have overcome that, bounced back, and he's really really an inspiration. He's done a lot of good for the community, for a lot of people. And I just think what John's done with himself is great. But one of the things he's always prided himself on is being a part of the Ironman competition, and has in fact covered the race in a number of different ways at his various media stops, giving viewers an insight into what's going on with him and his fellow competitors in the Ironman Challenge. So, without anything else to say, I'm going to move on and let you listen to my interview with John Bull. All right, and we're here on the Rusty Satellite Show with John Bull. You know him as the Wave TV 3 anchor in the mornings. And what you may not know is he's also quite an athlete and is gearing up this week for the Ironman in Louisville. So welcome to the show, John.
Thank you very much, Rick. Looking forward to the Ironman again, even though I just saw the forecast. And it's 90 calling for on Sunday.
Yeah,
this is the seventh straight year in Louisville that had it. That'll make 5 of the 7 years it's been 90 or above.
Wow. You should have gone out last week. You know, that would have been
the whole
way.
The whole summer.
I know. Well, like on Saturday, I rode 25 miles on my bike, so, and it felt pretty good. So I figure I'm probably ready for the Ironman, right? That's all the training you need.
That is not all the training you need. but you need to be best on the bike. Let me explain. Yeah. It's a 2.5-mile swim, which takes average person like me 90 minutes. It's a 112-mile bike. You're on the bike 6 to 7 hours, the average person. Ooh. And then the marathon on the end is just kind of a war of survival anyway. It doesn't matter if you're a great runner. You've got to be best at the bike.
Okay. Well, that's probably the only part that I could do. You have been a part of this since 2007 when it first came to Louisville. It's a big event. Tell me what you've seen some changes in the whole program, right?
I think the most interesting thing about the Ironman here is it's different from all of the other ones because all the other ones are a mass start. And they planned on having a mass swim start here as well. We're all going to be floating, treading water out in front of Joe's Crab Shack. Mm-hmm. And start and go upriver and back down. But the very first year, we all got in for the practice swim, and everybody started swimming in place. You couldn't make any progress. They were like, oh my goodness, the current's stronger than we thought. So they had a plan B, just in case of that. Although they didn't think they'd have to go to it. But the plan B is what's called a time trial start, where they start down by tumbleweed, 2x2, till everybody gets in. It takes about a half hour to start everybody. But that way, you're not in the mass of humanity, and it's not so horrible, and you go up the narrows in between Towhead Island there for a while to kind of stay out of the current, make the big turn, and come all the way back.
Right.
Just crap. So they told me that this is really got the most participation of all the North American Ironmans because people love the idea of not starting in a piranha feeding frenzy of 3,000 people climbing up Joe's
Back. You know, I can imagine that. One year I went down there, John, and I'm sure you remember this, you know, where everybody feeds down there by there and everybody jumps in. Now, this one guy, you remember the guy that died. I was standing right by the edge of the thing when they pulled him out and pulled him up. He just got kicked in the head.
Right.
It was a very traumatic
scene
for him.
Very common thing to have happen. I've had 3 episodes myself. I have asthma where I've had to grab onto a boat. It's overwhelming. And if you start hyperventilating and then get kicked in the head and punched in the face and massive bodies, you can freak out.
Right. Well, for our listeners that might be you know, paying attention to the Ironman, now you've also done a lot of coverage of this, and tell me about, you were just telling me how you're going to cover this event on the air.
I've done everything from first person perspectives. Last year, I wore a GoPro camera in the swim, mounted one on my bike, and wore one in the run to show people kind of what that's about because GoPros are so cool. I've done documentary on elderly athletes trying it. This year I'm going to do something on the agony of defeat, the people who don't finish in the meltdowns, couldn't have the weather for it. I looked last year, and over 150 people did not finish it. And no one ever talks about the people that didn't finish.
Right. Out of how many now? How many?
2,700.
2,700. 150 or so don't make it?
Yeah, and there have been some years where up to 300 people don't make it. And I'm pretty much in the mass unit every year, figuring my guts out.
Yeah.
Whether I knew well or not. It's just kind of come with the territory. But I think it's fascinating. I had a nurse last year from the Norton Mass Unit look out over the mass of hundreds of people puking and sick with IVs. And she said, isn't this wonderful? Isn't this the kind of thing you just want to do and train all year for? Being sarcastic. And I said, you know, you're right.
Well, it is kind of crazy. How much time do you really put in training? I know it's just unbelievable.
Well, they say between like 15 and 30 hours a week. But here's what I do. I'm 51 now. I listen to my body. I bought a book called Going Long. It's a training, so you don't need a trainer. Basically what I do, what the main thing they tell you to do is two long days a week, one rest day a week, and pretty much whatever else you want the rest of the week, an hour or two. But by a long day, they mean, you know, an hour swim and a three-hour bike, or a four-hour bike and a one-hour run. Like, you know, what they call those bricks. And that's what you got to do, because you really got to be used to the multiple hours of it. They give you 17 hours to finish, 7 a.m. to midnight. The fastest people takes just under 9 hours. It takes me 12, 13, maybe 14 hours.
Right, right. And I know I can remember some experiences, and pardon me if I'm bringing up something I shouldn't, but, you know, you used to be, like, drinking right before the thing, right?
When I was drinking, when I blew up, I drank every night before the Ironman, every single night for the week, and I ended up in a horrible state. I finished the race, but that was part of my whole spiraling down my last couple of years. Yes, the very first year sober, I went under 12 hours. I went 11 hours, 50. That's like the elite, top 20%. So
it makes a difference.
Huge difference.
Well, good for you, and congratulations on all that. I don't know if everybody that's listening knows your story, but it's a very inspirational story about recovery from addiction, and it's great to have you back doing the Ironman, and great to have you on the air again with your new job. Tell me about your new job, and I know you picked up a bunch more hardware recently.
Yes, I'm anchoring mornings at Wave, doing special projects. They want me to do mostly investigative stuff, but I do everything from features to sports to investigative with Eric Flack. And I after a year off of forced retirement, I came back this year and became the first journalist ever to win Best Anchor, Best News Reporter, Best News Writer, and Best Sports Reporter. So that was very, very wonderful, and I'm just glad to be back in it.
That's good for Wave.
I've got a good leash in terms of I can do pretty much what I want to do. I run my ideas by my bosses, and they say, good, do them all.
Okay. Now, what's investigative-wise, you know, we've been talking a lot in this market. There's a lot of movement and the downfall of the Courier, et cetera.
Right.
TV news, investigative reporting, I mean, you're arguably the best at it in town. Is it still being supported? Is it something that's gonna keep going?
It is. All the stations are playing it heavily because, Rick, if you think about the reasons now to watch local news, you see shares are dwindling every single year. The reasons left to watch local news are severe weather coverage, not even really daily weather coverage, because you can just punch in your mobile device and see what the 7-day forecast is.
Right.
It's enterprising stories, investigative enterprising stories, or personality, just people you like that entertain you. Pretty much outside that, it's all covered, from ESPN to your mobile device to breaking news. You can get breaking news really without even watching local news.
Even from your TV station, you sometimes wonder if you're competing with yourself because, you know, I get these text alerts all the time.
Yes.
And there's another murder in Louisville. Okay, I got it.
Heavy emphasis on enterprising stories and personalities and storytelling. I mean, after all, the television news experience is still people like to be told stories. People watch reruns of the same movie over and over again because they're trying to achieve a feeling they got each time they watch it. That's what we're trying to do in storytelling.
Okay, and bringing it back to the Ironman thing, you have through the years always done some sort of coverage of your Ironman experience. You seem to be the only one in town. Does that does this this coverage you're going to do this year. How is that going to air? Where can people see that?
Oh, it's going to air on Wave the week after Ironman, as soon as I recover. You know, last year, I did the race and slept for like 3 hours and came in and did the morning show just because I wanted to just do it. I want to try it again this year. But, yeah, that next week it'll be on. And it's funny because it doesn't get a lot of coverage. Have you noticed that? I mean, there are people here from all over the world, usually 49 of the 50 states at least, 3,000 people. You're standing in line registering, and there's people speaking foreign languages. It's so cool. Yet not a lot of people, not a lot of coverage.
I googled Louisville Ironman right before we came in here preparing for this. There was one news story about it, and it, you know, here it is the week of the event.
Really caught on in terms of local coverage, because you know Louisville market is all about college basketball, now college football,
right.
And that's it. They just don't seem to bite on that. But I try.
And they complain about the road closing. At least they'll do that. They'll get all fired up about that. And then you hear about the unfortunately, it's almost like. You know, I hate to even say this, but like auto racing, you hear about people who have problems, who have agony, or hopefully, I think only one guy that we referred to earlier got killed, but it's really compelling to me to watch the competitors and see how they can. And I know you've dug up a lot of stories through the years on people participating.
Yeah, there's a ton of fascinating stories this year. This year, there's a couple scheduled a wedding at 8:30 after they cross. Okay, first of all, some of the best athletes in the world don't know if they're going to cross. You never know as an athlete you're going to fall.
Right.
They've scheduled an 8:30 wedding with 70 people invited, and they're going to have it right after the finish line. And you can look at that as cocky, or you can say, no, that's cool. You're that good.
You say, well, you got a pretty good excuse for not showing up for your own wedding, right? Oh, honey, I really wanted to, but.
I saw one year a couple cross the line at 11:45, barely going to finish in time to be an official finisher. They both crossed the line. Guy gets down on his knee, turns, pulls a ring out, proposes, plays 4th Street Live, goes wild. It was so cool.
That is. Well, I know there's a million of those great stories. And so you're going to do this again. You're going to finish in 12 hours, you say, and you're going to be back on the air the next day. Is that the plan?
That is the plan. That is the plan.
All right. We'll hold you to it. John, that's all the time we got, but I appreciate you coming on the Rusty Satellite Show. Best of luck this weekend.
Rick, always great to talk to you.
Wow, John, thanks for coming in and to our studios here in the Highlands and talking to me about the Ironman competition. It's great to see John Bowl in the studio. And that will do it for another edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. Thanks to those of you who have downloaded this podcast, stuck around with us for so long, and continue to follow the show. You know, we have our own website called RustySatelliteShow.com. You can also find pictures of our guest on LouisvilleKY.com. Looking forward to coming back next week. It's a big week. We're getting ready for football, and I'm excited about my Western Kentucky Hilltoppers going down to Nashville to whoop up on the Wildcats next week. So we'll really look forward to that, and until we meet again.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.